You're tuned into the Indie Newswire program. My name is Vinny, here with Bradley.
And we just got on the line Onto, joining us from New York City. Onto, can you hear us?
Yes, how's it going?
Great. Well, we're doing a little bit of coverage here today about the situation going on in Oaxaca. We haven't really tried to touch on any of the most recent news yet, but we just played the audio, actually, of your reading of Brad's last communique from Oaxaca, and we just heard Brad singing, "I Really Like the Cops." But I would love for you to bring some of our free radio listeners up to speed on what went down this morning in New York City and what continues to go on, different actions in solidarity with Oaxaca.
Well, today, with about, I think, 15 to 16 other cities in the country and about 5 to 6 other cities in the world that we know about, following the recommendations of APO, we tried to shut down the operations of the Mexican government in our country. We did that by going to the Mexican consulate at about 9 a.m. for a protest, for a demonstration. Around 9 a.m., there was about 300 people there, and it started out as a small demonstration with people singing signs with beautiful banners and beautiful posters and flowers and a little vigil. It started to get intense around 9:30 when someone climbed a pole and dropped a banner with a beautiful picture of Brad that said, "One more night at the barricades." As that was happening, a couple people stormed kind of the front of the Mexican consulate and immediately locked themselves to the gate using bike locks. A couple of them were tackled by policemen, but one or two successfully tied themselves to the gate. The gate door broke, and it was stuck there. There was a scuffle. There was more of a scuffle with the police grabbing some people. Some people got away from that scuffle, and no one was arrested at that point. As that was all going on, Brandon Jordan with the New York City Independent Media Center and a really close friend of Brad lie down in the middle of the street and blocked traffic, wearing a white shirt with a red dot in his chest where Brad was shot. He was doing a die-in. And people went to the side door and also locked themselves to there. Photographers were running around trying to capture all this. A couple photographers were grabbed and arrested. One of them was New York City indie media photographer Aaron Siegel. Some people from the New York Times, their cameras were also taken. Screaming and chanting got louder and louder, and it was more intense, and more and more cops showed up with pens to kind of contain the energy, but the energy was kind of overflowing. And it kept on going and going and going, and they couldn't stop it. They had to shut down the consulate when we were there. And it was really successful. To get Brandon off the ground, they needed 6 people. They couldn't saw off the bike locks. The people locked down for about an hour using big saws. They had to get a large truck to climb the tower to bring down the guy on the banner. And people stayed there for 2 or 3 hours. There was lots of press. The message got out about Oaxaca, about Bradwell, about all those that were killed there. And people really showed their courage. They stepped up. I haven't seen energy like that in New York City in a while. People weren't kidding anymore.
Onto, this is V-Man here. Thanks for being with us. I'm curious if you can just talk a little more about why people decide to take action today, why it's important for U.S. citizens to show solidarity with Oaxaca.
It's just important because it's still going on. What Brad was doing down there was not just documenting the struggle of the people of Oaxaca, of APO, of the teachers, but he was helping to further by documenting it. He was helping to show that they were on the right side of history and that the corrupt governor, Ulysses Ruiz, and the government of the country who sponsored the paramilitaries that killed him were wrong and unjust. Since Brad's death, the government has used his name to send in more federal troops, which quote, quell the violence. But as we know, the violence was because of the federal troops, or it was because of the government. So it's a real shock to all of us to use Brad's name for more violence. And that kind of pushed the button, not just Brad's death, and it was also the struggle of the people of Oaxaca, which is a struggle for direct democracy, something that Brad's been fighting for his whole life, whether in Bolivia or Brazil or the Lower East Side or Oregon. He saw these movements as connected, that these movements of autonomy of people fighting and organizing horizontally for freedom in ways that come from the bottom up. People here, they knew Brad. They knew Brad from the squatting movement of the mid-90s. They knew him from the community gardens movement, which was really, really formative for him. He was one of those people that lived in some community gardens and stayed until the crafters came. There's a great story of him on the 5th Street squat on top of the building as the wrecking ball came. And he stood up there, and he danced on the rooftops as the wrecking ball came because he knew he was right, or what he was doing was just. People from all over the city came today. People from all over the world know who he is just because of his energy and his ability to talk to people and organize. He worked within so many movements, whether it was indie media or environmental action or community gardens or just his music, that it was amazing to see the network that kind of popped up in response. And, you know, this was a political murder. People thought it needed a political response, and that response was direct action. It was kind of putting our bodies in the way of the violence that was being poured down in the streets of Oaxaca.
You know, by now, at least a dozen people have been killed in Oaxaca in the last 5 months, and it was Brad Will's killing, though, that seemed to grab the attention of the media and grab the attention of maybe people who weren't so attuned to what was happening in Mexico. I'm wondering if you can talk about this phenomenon and, you know, why it takes the death of a U.S. independent media journalist to get attention on a popular uprising happening in the global south.
I mean, I think Brad would be one of the first people to tell you, like, I can't believe you're finally listening to the story because one white guy died. I mean, he'd be shocked, of course, that people weren't paying attention all along. Because people like him, people like the Indie Media Network, people that were doing Solidarity have been paying attention for a long time. I mean, now why the mainstream media wasn't representing it is obvious. I mean, they don't care. I mean, what do they care, really? What's the interest story? What's the angle? And the stories coming out after his death, some of them, you know, caught his news, but some didn't really even understand what was going on there. They just kind of read the statements of the governor. They didn't understand Apo or Oaxaca or like, what is this struggle? What does it mean? This is not a 5-month-year-old struggle. It's not even a 5-year struggle. This struggle has been going on for years. Oaxaca is the most indigenous state in the country. It's one of the poorest states. It's right next to Chiapas. The teachers have been fighting for a long time to oust the PRI for 70 years now. I mean, with the kind of short attention span of the corporate media, and with their embeddedness with the corporations and the governments that fund these type of things, it's not their story. And, you know, in a couple of days, it's going to be gone from them. And that's why we think it's really important for the alternative press to keep this going. And not just for Brad's sake, but also for the sake of the struggle in Oaxaca.
What's next in New York City? Are there further protest actions planned over the next coming days at the consulate or other strategic targets?
Well, outside of New York City, there's stuff going on in Philadelphia, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Tucson, San Diego, London, Chile. We know that. In New York City, there's a couple of stuff being planned. Tomorrow is the Halloween parade, and I think there might be a contingent of people, you know, trying to get the word out about Brad and who Brad was. Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, is this Thursday. Hopefully there'll be a public action then. There will be a memorial perhaps in a week or two, which will probably get people from not only all over the city and the country, but people from all over the world will probably come to this memorial when it happens, which will probably be in 2 weeks, to honor the sake of Brad Will. Oaxacan solidarity groups are forming and reforming to continue the struggle that was put in place. And it's hard to say what else is going on. I mean, one thing that's funny is a crisis like this, you know, where there's a figure passes, all the friends kind of come together in all the different groups, and you see the myriad ways of organizing and of people that kind of make the city alive. And it's rare for all them all to come together. And right now, in the wake of Brad's death, the energy is there.
What about the arrestees from today, the dozen folks that have been detained? Have they been released? What are their charges? You talked a bit about that.
Three of them have been released.
Three, okay.
And including our photographer, Aaron Siegel. And they're all being charged with misdemeanors, from what we know. We think harassment was one of them, was one of the charges. We're not really sure what the rest are. Right now, there's people outside of the jail on 21st Street, and they're going to go down to Center Street and probably wait for them to get out. We don't think they'll be there longer, and we think they'll probably all the charges will be dropped since this is a political case, and there are good lawyers working down there. There might be more arrestable actions coming up in the future. People will think that this is just the beginning. This wasn't just a random death, but this was a death that had a larger meaning. People don't think it's right to give up the fight yet.
There's a video that's been published after Brad's death. It's Brad's last footage, and I want to know how you feel about seeing that footage so quickly after he died.
It was shocking. I watched it a couple nights with some friends, and my heart was beating, knowing what would happen at the end of the video. It was one of the most disturbing pieces of footage I've ever seen. I'm not even sure what it means. I think it's bigger than Indie Media or Brad. Just to have video of someone dying who's filming is just scary. I mean, it takes what it means to be an audience member to a whole new level of what's right and what's not right. I mean, Brad was courageous. He got there. He ducked, dodged bullets, went under his cars. He did an interview. There was no doubt about it. He had courage. But it's scary, and I know I watched it once, and I don't think I could watch it again. And I'm not sure if I want other people to watch it or not. I think Brad would probably want people to watch it just to know what he was doing down there and why he had to be down there, because other people wouldn't do it because they gave up when people here keep going, because the people in Oaxaca don't give up. They keep struggling like they are today.
One final thought, Anto. As we're talking about Brad Will and the work he did with Indie Media and the Community Gardens and Pirate Radio, he was one of the founders of Steal This Radio in the Lower East Side a decade ago. I'm filled with thoughts that the people who are oppressing us in the world, the Brad Will's assassins and the paramilitaries that are routinely firing on crowds of protesters in Oaxaca, and U.S. military forces that are routinely firing on protesters in Iraq, in Fallujah, in Baghdad, and how we're talking about all these struggles being linked, the forces that would oppress us would hope that the killing of Brad Will would in fact scare people and keep people away from movements and from reporting on movements. And I guess maybe on a final thought, can you just talk about how this has energized the movement and it's had the reverse effect?
I mean, not only has it energized people here, but also in Oaxaca, we think it's energized people. If you've read some of the stories, people in Oaxaca have seen this as an act of courage for an American to go down there and to do alternative press. It's really kept it going, even in the face of the repression that Brad's death has brought. People are getting stronger. And people here, I mean, I see Brad as he had a certain spirit to him that will outlive his body, that will outlive his ex. He was a musician. He was a storyteller. He kept history alive. He kept the movements alive. He was there before Seattle and long afterwards. And people looked to him as someone who kept it going past his 20s. I mean, into the days when it wasn't cool anymore, when people burned out or sold out. I mean, you know, Brad was an anarchist, and hopefully 1,000 anarchists will come in his shoes.
Well, Anto, if you have any final thoughts today for us and our listeners, please share.
Well, I hope they, you know, really, really think about what it means for Brad to have been killed. I mean, really think about it in terms of their relationship to media, to Oaxaca, to what it means to be an American, to a white person, and why would someone go down there, and what it means for us to live in the wake of this death that has happened and that is now reverberating throughout the world, and that once it leaves the media sphere, what are we going to do? It's on us to keep it going and to see if we could push it forward.
There was a few websites that Brad mentioned in his last communique for people to get more information. Those were narconews.com. mexico.indymedia.org/Oaxaca, elenemigocomun.net. And I know right now nyc.indymedia.org has lots of information, tributes, testimonies about Brad and his life. So I encourage people to continue to pursue those sources of news, to pursue to getting out the truth like Brad did, and just to keep the flame burning, you know, from a small candle to a raging fire. All right. Well, thanks again, Anto, for joining us today. And
you're welcome.
Yeah. Keep in touch.
I'll see you later.
Bye.
And you're tuned to the Indie Newswire program, which is Mondays from about 3 p.m. to about 5 p.m. here. My name is Vinny, here with Bradley.